Start each meditation session with thoughts of goodwill. Goodwill is a wish for happiness, true happiness here. This is to remind you of why you're meditating. You want to find true happiness, and you want a happiness that doesn't harm other people's happiness. So you tell yourself, may I find true happiness, may all living beings be happy, as we chanted just now. Which means, of course, you're going to have to look for happiness that comes from within. Happiness that depends on outside conditions is not stable, and it's limited. There are only so many nice outside conditions that can go around. And the way of the world is that if you gain something, somebody else has to lose it. Whether it's a physical object or a relationship or a job, things are limited in the world. And if we're looking for us happiness in terms of sight, sound, smells, taste, tactile sensations, as the Buddha said, even if it rained gold coins, you wouldn't have enough money to buy all the sensual pleasures you wanted. So looking for that kind of happiness is a dead end. This is why we turn and look inside. And the potential we have for happiness right here at the breath. Because the breath gives us a good, comfortable place to stay. Helps us create a sense of ease in the body, which then helps to create a sense of ease in the mind, because the mind is going to have to be trained. It's as if you're training an animal. The animal has to trust you in order to put up with some of the harshness of the training. It's one way to make the training easier is to learn how to use the breath as your friend. Try to find what way of breathing feels really good right now. It could be long breathing or short breathing, fast or slow, heavy or light, deep or shallow. Experiment to see what feels best. When you find a rhythm that feels good, stick with it until it doesn't feel good anymore, and then change it. Try to keep tabs on what the body's breath needs are. And breath here doesn't mean just the air coming in and out of the lungs. It means the movement of energy as you breathe in, the movement of energy as you breathe out, which you can feel in any part of the body. And once that movement feels good, think of it spreading to different parts of the body. So the breathing becomes a whole body process. Everybody's participating in the breath. And if the mind wanders off, bring it back and then see if the breath can be made even more comfortable. So that over time the breath becomes more satisfying, the mind becomes more tame. Because you want the mind to become less and less stubborn and more tractable. Because a large part of the training is learning how to focus it on things that are useful. All too often we spend all our time thinking about things that are totally of no help at all. You can sit here and make yourself miserable. You can sit here and make yourself happy, simply by the way you think. And for the most part, the mind is very skilled at making itself miserable. Gets all upset about issues that are totally irrelevant. And can think about them for years and years and get all messed up inside. This is why when the Buddha taught, there were a lot of topics he just didn't get involved in. And you might say, well, where's my freedom to think? Well, again, you're free to make yourself suffer if you want to, but do you really want to? How about bringing the mind to think about things that really are helpful in leading to happiness? This is why the Buddha stressed right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration in the practice. Right effort is when you see that a certain mental state or line of thinking is not helpful, that it's actually creating suffering. You do your best to abandon it. And if you know you're going into a situation where you tend to think in unskillful ways, okay, you try to think in a way that's going to prevent that from happening. As for skillful thoughts, if they haven't arisen yet, you give rise to them. If they have arisen, you try to maintain them. This applies not only to thinking, but also mental states in general. One way to give yourself a good grounding in it so you can actually watch the mind is to practice right mindfulness. Find a topic for the mind to keep thinking about, to keep in mind. It could be the body in and of itself, or feelings, or mind states, or mental qualities. The difference between mind states and mental qualities, like the difference between a whole committee making a decision and the different members of the committee having different ideas. The mind state is the whole committee. Mental qualities are individual members of the committee. But if you focus directly on the mental processes right away, it's very easy to get lost in them. So it's a good idea to take the body, like the breath, or an aspect of the body like the breath, as your frame of reference. Ardent, alert, and mindful. Mindful means you keep the breath in mind all the time, all the way through the in-breath, all the way through the out. Alert means that you watch to see what's actually going on. How does the breath feel? Does it feel good? Does it feel uncomfortable? How about the mind? Does the mind stay with the breath or is it wandering around? You've got to keep watch on what's actually happening. And then ardency is the effort to do this right. Basically, it's right effort applied to maintaining mindfulness and alertness. If the mind is wandered off, you bring it right back. You don't tell yourself, well, here I've got a whole hour to sit. I'll give myself a few minutes to sort of gradually settle down. Or I've been meditating all day and it's time to give the mind a little leash. Can't think in those ways. As soon as the mind wanders off, just bring it right back. Show it that you mean business. In other words, you're training it. And then while it is with the breath, you try to be as sensitive as possible. As we said, if the breath feels comfortable, it's easier to stay. And the more sensitive you are, the greater the pleasure you can derive from the breath. The more finesse you can use in adjusting the breath, so it really is just right. It really does feel gratifying deep down inside. So that's what ardency means. You're trying to do this skillfully. You want to do it skillfully. Desire here is perfectly fine. The desire to master the path is not the cause of suffering. It's what's needed to stay with the path. And so sometimes you think about the goal at the end of the path and how good it would be to be totally free of suffering. To give yourself motivation to stick with the path. But then you realize, if I'm going to get there, I have to focus on what I'm doing here. Then you come right back to be mindful of the breath. And as your mindfulness and alertness become more and more skillful, they turn into right concentration. You think about the breath, you evaluate the breath. And again, a sense of singleness with the breath. In other words, the breath becomes the one thing you are continually thinking about. And it's the one thing that fills your whole awareness of the body. When that comes, there's a sense of ease or pleasure, and a sense of fullness, refreshment, or rapture. And you allow that to spread throughout the body. This is how you provide a foundation for the mind. And you get the mind in good shape so it can start understanding what's going on in the present moment. Because the more steadily you can stay here, the more you can stay here with a sense of well-being, then it's easier to see the movements of the mind and to be honest with yourself about them. This quality of honesty is very important, as the Buddha once said. Let an observant person come, one who is honest and no deceiver. I'll teach that person the Dhamma. And it's a lot easier for the mind to be honest with itself when it's in a good mood. It's like you're doing an experiment. You want to make sure the scientists are well fed so they don't start stealing the money from the experiment to feed themselves. There's a case years back about a malaria researcher who, it turned out, was stealing all the money that was supposed to go into the malaria research and bought himself a car, got himself a house, fed himself very well. In other words, he was a hungry researcher. So, of course, the experiment never succeeded. It's the same with the meditation. You've got to feed the mind well. And the Buddha often talks about right concentration as food for the mind. Rice, beans, honey, ghee, all kinds of good things for the mind. And when the mind is well fed, then you can watch it and see where it creates suffering and stress for itself. And oftentimes you find it's caused by the things you'd like to do. This is why it's important that the mind be well fed so it can look at its old likes and see their drawbacks. Be willing to let them go. So work on developing this foundation. It's a common fault as when meditators that we want to go really quickly to the discernment before we've developed a foundation for it. As John Fuhrer once said, it's like building a many-story building. If the foundation is poor, one story is going to collapse. But if the foundation is solid, you can build as many stories as you like. So focus on getting this foundation strong. This is one of the reasons why in the forest tradition there's not that much emphasis placed on learning a lot about the Dharma, reading a lot of Dharma books. Because the mind can get lost in all those theories. You want to read enough so you understand what's going on. that actually create the genuine qualities in your mind. The books are like roadmaps. And although sometimes it is fun to just look at maps, it's not the same as actually being there. So you try to develop all the good qualities that are needed to get the mind there. There meaning right here in the present moment with a sense of stability, equanimity, purity of mindfulness. If you find it difficult to get here, look at your actions, look at your words, look at the way you think to see what's getting in the way. And take every aspect of your life here as part of the training. As you work, as you talk, as you engage with other people, as you're sitting by yourself. Always remember, you're here to train the mind, not just let it go in its old ways. Because the mind can be trained, as the Buddha said. If it were not possible to train the mind, he wouldn't teach people to do it. If it weren't possible to abandon unskillful behavior and to develop skillful behavior in its place, he wouldn't tell people to do it. But it is possible. It can be done. So many of the same principles that apply to training an animal apply here. On the one hand, you have to have a lot of goodwill for the mind. You have to want its true happiness. But there are times when you also have to be very strict. Thoughts, words, deeds that don't really help in the training. Don't think that they're unimportant. They eat away at the progress you could be making in the meditation. This is why the path the Buddha taught is not just right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, or right view. It includes right speech, right action, right livelihood, right resolve. It's a total training. While you're here at the monastery, make sure that it is all your time here is devoted to the training. So you get the most out of the experience.